Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church of Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any other popular podcast platforms. This week, Pastor Jordan brings us a sermon called Where is Your Treasure? It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7.
Today, I want to talk about the elephant in the room. And not necessarily any kind of elephant for New Hope, but my elephant in the room. And I know it's been a tough time, and I know that a lot of people have given me space, and I've really appreciated it, but we do have to talk about the fact that... See, I can always find a way to make this part of a sermon. Challenge me on it. That Rodgers wants out of Green Bay, and how do I feel about it? That's the most important question you all have, I know. So for those of you that don't know, on draft day, there was a big story that came out that Rodgers wanted out of Green Bay. He was unhappy. And here's how it goes. He wanted an extension. He wanted to finish his career in Green Bay. Green Bay kept saying, we want to restructure your contracts. We have more money for players the next year. Because the management is also thinking about the future of the team. And so last year, they drafted a rookie quarterback that's supposed to be the next thing, right? And so with all this happening, Rodgers' experience was that, well, they don't really appreciate me, even after an MVP year. And so I'm just going to speed up the process for them. They want this guy, so I'm going to let them have that guy and send me somewhere else. So now there's these two different experiences. There's Rodgers, who doesn't feel appreciated. Then there's the management that has the tough task of keeping a superstar happy while also at the same time planning for the future. And now there's a conflict. And a lot of our conflict comes from this fact, right? That we are having different experiences. That we're experiencing the world in different and profound ways and receiving things from other people in different ways. And it can be difficult. Now, if Rodgers goes somewhere, I'd be happy if he came to Denver. But we'll see. He still hasn't, nothing's happened yet. So, but that's just kind of a little way of experiencing how we all go through different experiences. And you maybe have had this in your own life, whether it's with family or in work, that sometimes when you talk with somebody and you start to realize, well, their experience is not the same as mine. And then we start thinking of stuff like, well, am I wrong? Is there something wrong with me? I think that's just the nature of life. And we've seen this in profound ways in the last year. We've seen it through when we've had, these Black Lives Matter protests. And then people come in, and then All Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter. And these are all functioning out of different experiences. We have it with the protests and police officers. We have police officers, their experiences with people and their job are very different. And so when people critique them that are outside of that, they don't truly know because they don't have those experiences. And so we get caught up in these conflicts because we're not listening to each other's experiences. We have it with our politics. Conservatives and liberals are experiencing the world in profoundly different ways. We have it with people of LGBTQ, especially with churches, that their experiences in churches are way different than maybe people who are straight. And we've had all of this going on in the past year. And I think one of the biggest things is, I was thinking the other day about when 9/11 happened. And when I say that, you all immediately start thinking about where you were, what was happening. We're transported back there immediately. And after that, we were kind of united as a country because we all experienced the same trauma together. This past year has been different because we've all had different experiences with COVID. Some of us got COVID and it wasn't that bad, and so we think it's not a big deal, while others lose family members to it and it has changed their lives forever. So we're all having different experiences within this pandemic year, which makes it hard for us to connect and unite together. So what does this have to do then with our scripture about comfort and being treasured and everything? And our scripture, just put up here for you to see again, was read earlier. It says comfort about 9 different times. And this scripture is picked by group that puts on VBS. And I think because it's saying that God comforts us, God cares for us. That's why that shows us that we are treasured by God. But I think there's a little bit more going on in this passage. And there always is, if you do a little bit more digging, if you go into the historical context, you read some commentaries, there's a little bit more going on behind this. And this is going to get confusing for a second. Bear with me. So, the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the church in Corinth, actually, the chapters 10 through 13 should be at the beginning, and 1 through 9 should be after that. Got it? Crystal clear. Because if you've ever read it, what happens is 1 through 9, Paul is all nice and he's saying great things and talk about how he's joyful and thankful for the congregation of that church and all the things that they're doing and the ways that they have changed and followed the path of Christ. And then 2 Corinthians 10 through 13 starts to take a turn. There's a little bit more negativity, a little more harshness, a little more calling them out on their stuff. And so then you wonder, what happened between 1 and 9 and 10 through 13? Well, actually, 10 through 13 was actually a letter, the beginning of the letter, that was sent after Paul's second visit to the church. There was a conflict that happened between him and members of the congregation. We don't know exactly what it was about. It could have been they humiliated each other, or the congregation was trying to follow teachings of another teacher. There were these super apostles back then that basically their works weren't giving glory to God for their works, but themselves. And Paul was all about everything we do that's good goes to God. And so there was a conflict between Paul and the congregation. So the harshness that we hear in 10 through 13 was actually him responding to his last visit. And then somewhere along the way, there was reconciliation between Paul and the congregation. But before we get to that, the word used in our passage for comfort, and one thing we always have to understand about the Bible, whenever there's a word that's repeated a lot, that's an important word. And most of the time, that word in the original language means something a lot bigger than what we can give the definition to it. I think there's all kinds of things and words in our lives that mean more than what they actually mean. Maybe there's a word you share with your spouse or your family that it's kind of an inside thing, right? When you say it, everybody knows what you're talking about. So actually it's a bigger meaning than what that word actually means. So comfort in our passage, the Latin root of comfort is fortis, which means brave. And so it's giving this idea that comfort isn't just something that we pat somebody on the back. It's not like that day, that cold, snowy day where you put a blanket over yourself and drinking hot chocolate. It's bigger than that. But it's comfort that gives us bravery in the midst of our pain and suffering. It gives us hope for a better tomorrow, that someday all this pain and suffering that we have will end. It is only temporary. It will not last forever. And that takes bravery to sit in that during your pain and suffering. It's telling us that the reality of God is coming. Christian comfort gives hope. Our comfort to others gives hope, gives bravery. It also calls us to help to understand each other, to have empathy, to be vulnerable with one another. Think about a time in your own life that you were going through some pain and suffering, whether it was a tough trial within your family or just a crisis of identity, crisis of faith, things like that, or losing a loved one. When you met somebody who's going through the exact same thing as you or similar or had gone through it, what did that feel like? it feels comforting that you are not alone. It feels like it gives you a little bit of hope that you can do this. It changes how you work within that pain and suffering, because you know that there are people that have gone through it, people that you can count on. Somebody, and that person you could go to and ask questions and continue to receive that comfort. It makes you feel like you're not alone. And I think this is what God does for us too. I think God became human in the person of Jesus to connect with us, to experience the same experiences that we have. Being fully God and fully human, most of the time we just think of Jesus as a deity, which Jesus is, but the doctrine of fully human and fully divine at the same time is messy, and it's hard for us to understand because we like things in black and white as humans. But God was experiencing human experiences also. And God did this because we are God's treasured people. God wanted to connect with us in a deeper way to show us that God loves us and treasures us through the person of Jesus Christ, to show us we are not alone, that God is here, that God is with us. This was a big step for a God to have empathy to enter into our experiences. God could have easily said, "Your experiences are invalid. I don't want to hear it. That's silly. Just do what I say." But God chose to become human, to walk among us, to show us the way of life that can help us connect to one another. Hebrews 2:18, I think, puts this perfectly, and it's from the Message version. It says, "It's obvious, of course, that he didn't go to all this trouble for angels. It was for people like us, children of Abraham. That's why he had to enter into every detail of human life. Then when he came before God as high priest to get rid of the people's sins, he would have already experienced it all himself. All the pain, all the testing, and he would be able to help where help was needed." So this is a God that comes alongside of us. A God that just doesn't dictate from a certain place, but a God that becomes human, walks among us, experiences the trials that we have. We always think about the cross and Good Friday as just that day that it was finished, that was the mission, that was the purpose, but we also forget that Jesus suffered that day. Jesus suffered through extreme pain. And so when we're going through pain, we also know that Jesus did the same thing, that Jesus is with us in that pain, that Jesus understands that pain, because Jesus experienced it. Jesus experienced death. All of us are going to experience death. And Jesus shows us that through all these things, whether it's pain and suffering or death or the trials within our life, that we can do it. Now, sometimes we think of Jesus and we're like, well, we're not perfect. We can't do it like Jesus did. Well, I don't think God would become human and walk this earth within Jesus and show us how to live if we couldn't do it. And I think one of the keys to trying to understand each other's experiences is looking at Christ and what Christ did, and that he was able to help where help was needed because he went through it, that he understood the experiences, for us to try and understand each other's experiences. And that starts with empathy and vulnerability. And I guess she's kind of a favorite here, but Brené Brown said, "Vulnerability is the birthplace of love, belonging, joy, courage, empathy, and creativity. It is the source of hope, empathy, accountability, and authenticity. If we want greater clarity in our purpose or deeper and more meaningful spiritual lives, vulnerability is the path." Vulnerability helps us become more brave, more empathetic, to stand in those situations where it feels like it's tense and there's a conflict, but we can do it. We can do hard things together as the people of God, the treasured people of God. Vulnerability helps us to love others better. And it helps us to open up to empathy, and empathy helps us to open up to a whole new world, to see the world in a different way, because it's no longer then just strictly about you and your people and your family, but it's about all your brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus talked about that in his ministry too, about family, that his mother was outside the door and she asked to see Jesus, and Jesus said, "Who is my mother?" And then he's kind of being snarky about it too sometimes. Jesus was kind of snarky sometimes, which is fun. But he said, "Who is my mother? These are my mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters," the disciples that are around him. Now, does that mean he just neglected his mom and forgot his mom altogether? No. But what it meant was he was making a point that now within Christ, within this kingdom of God, there is brothers and sisters among us. That's not just your flesh and blood, but it is people that are all around you. It's the Gentiles, it's the Jews and Romans and everybody in that time. And so for us now today as Christians, all people are brothers and sisters in Christ. I think that's one of the things, especially in this past year, when we think about this race issue that we've tried to reconcile, that we've tried to talk about together, that it's because people of color, our brothers and sisters of color, are having vastly different experiences than those of us who are white. We are having different experiences as well. So then we can't understand their experiences. We think, well, that's never happened to me. Well, because it's not your experience. And that's where that conflict comes in. It's hard for us to understand it because it isn't our own experiences. We work out of our own experiences. But in our scripture today, the story about Paul and with the church of Corinth, that there was reconciling with the people in that church, that Paul shows us that we can solve conflict. Somewhere along the way, he met with the people that he had the conflict with that made him upset, or he made them upset, no matter what, but there was a change. And if we could tell from his words within 2 Corinthians 1 through 9, which is supposed to be the second part, remember, it's confusing, I know. It shows that there was a change and that the church actually changed their ways. The people heard what Paul said, or they experienced something and said, actually, you know what? We were wrong. We're going to change and continue this path that Christ has set out before us. So then Paul thanks them for that, thanks them that they actually had the courage and bravery to change. And maybe that's because Paul gave that comfort, that Paul had that time with them to give them hope in the midst of pain and suffering and conflict, that things will change and they can change. And through our pain and suffering, it can help us connect to others. Rob Bell says, pain has a way of making us more honest. Pain reminds us of what is important. Pain shows us that even happiness and joy doesn't last forever. But also pain doesn't last forever either. It helps us, it resets us. If we do it the right way, if we take our pain and we comfort one another within that we give that Christian comfort that gives bravery and hope in the midst of it, it can help us have new eyes to see the world. Now, with Paul, he took joy in his pain and suffering as a Christian. Because back then, when Paul was a Christian, it was hard to be a Christian. The Roman Empire was after you, even some of the Jewish leaders were after them, and death was a real possibility of being a Christian. That was real persecution then. But he took joy in that pain and suffering. He often got caught in things. He was beat up, and Paul took joy in that because he knew that because he experienced that and he went through that, he can help others who are going through the same thing. His pain gave comfort and help to others, to let others know they're not alone. Paul took joy in it. And with the church in Corinth, you know, he could have written off that church. He could have just abandoned them. He said, I have other churches that like me better, kind of like what Rogers is doing. I have everywhere to go. I have all kinds of options. But no, he stuck with them. And he worked and reconciled. Now, of course, that's my hope for this whole situation with the Packers, but who knows what's going to happen. Rodgers is not Paul. And so Paul knew that his suffering helps others. Your suffering can help others also. Your suffering and pain can help, and not while you're going through it necessarily, but afterwards, that when you see others going through similar things, you can now connect with them. They know that they are not alone. That this is all temporary. It's the already but not yet. The kingdom of God is already here in different glimpses, and the glimpses we see are the things like giving that Christian comfort to others, to give that hope. That shows the kingdom of God that is here and present now. But it's here, not here in its fullness yet. God wants to reconcile all things back to God. And we get to be a part of that, to connect with others. To use our own experiences of pain and suffering to connect with others. And there's going to be times where your own experiences can't connect. And that's when we have to have that vulnerability and empathy to sit and listen with empathetic ears. Have you ever gone to somebody with a problem before that you were having and they kind of dismissed it? That doesn't feel great either. You know that you're not going to go back to that person for anything else, right? And so for us as the people of God, the treasured people of God, that God became human to connect with us, to experience our experiences, we are now called to do the same thing. Maybe we should be the first people that when we hear people either protesting or crying out for help or saying the injustices within their life, maybe we should be the first people to say, let's listen. Let's try and hear what's going on. Because that's what God did for us. And we're called to do the same for others. Of course, we can't be perfect. We can't be Jesus. We're going to fall and stumble. We're going to hurt people. But we can do it also. Because God is with us. God did this. God is with us. God is with us within Jesus. God is still with us with the Spirit. God hasn't left. And most of the time for us, it's hard for us as humans to think that God is here and present now, because we have this idea of God that it's that guy in the clouds and he's just kind of watching things happen. Every once in a while, he'll come down and stop something or create something. But no, God is actively participating within our world, within us. That's why it's important for us to feel the Spirit of God, to follow the lead that Christ had in our own communities, our own neighborhoods, our own families, so that we can connect with others, to show them that there is a God that is with us. And we do that every month at this table. We come to this table to reconnect with God, reconnect with each other. It's the table of grace. And that table of grace is big. It's bigger than we even picture it. We like to put boxes around it. I know we always say here every week or every month when we do it that this is God's table, not New Hope's table, not Presbyterian table. Because there are traditions, and I grew up in one of them, where there was certain roadblocks to the table, that you had to become a member first, you had to confess your faith first, and otherwise you couldn't come to the table. But this is the table where we can remind ourselves that God is with us, God has not left us. Even in the midst of Jesus' pain and suffering that night when he broke bread, knowing what was going to happen the next day, that he took time to give this sacrament of comfort to us, to remind us at this table that this isn't the end, that there is something coming, that the kingdom of God is present. It's already, but not yet. So at this table, we come together to connect with God, to connect with each other, to remind each other of the comfort that Christ gives us. On that night, that Jesus took the bread in the midst of being betrayed by one of his friends. He took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." Likewise, he took the cup and he poured out the wine. He said, "This is my blood shed for the sins of the world. Take and drink in remembrance of me." So now, may you take and eat, may you take and drink, body of Christ broken for you, blood of Christ shed for you.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace and have a wonderful week.